At the Commonwealth Policy Foundation, we try to approach the issues of life, marriage, religious liberty, and fiscal integrity from a biblical perspective that promotes thoughtfulness and kindness. We work with political leaders and concerned citizens from all across the state. To stay informed, visit commonwealthmatters.org and sign up for our e-newsletter. The Commonwealth Policy Foundation is a nonprofit organization that only exists because of friends like you. Thanks for tuning in to The Commonwealth Matters.
Welcome to The Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of the Commonwealth Policy Center, and we are going to talk freedom and liberty. Where does it come from? Why do we have more freedom here in the United States than really anywhere on the place on the earth? And here to talk about all this is Bob Scott, Commonwealth Policy Center's Director for Church Outreach. Bob, welcome to the program.
Praise the Lord, Richard. I'm honored to be here with you.
I hope you have answers for these questions, Bob. Where does freedom and liberty come from? And these are pressing questions, really. I think we know what freedom is to an extent. We know what liberty is, but we don't understand the source. And I think we do take for granted that we have these great gifts here in this country. And it's almost, Bob, as if you don't appreciate something until you lose it.
That's right.
You know, if you look at people in other parts of the world who come here for the first time, who lived in oppressive governments, who didn't have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom to elect their own leaders, when they come here, it's like a rebirth. It's like an awakening where they're like, wow, I have these incredible freedoms here. I had a chance, by the way, to meet somebody from Chinese national, who grew up under Mao Zedong during the Cultural Revolution. And she and her family were oppressed by the communist dictators and the communist rule. And she came here a number of years ago and really embraced America and its freedom and its opportunity. And she's now, I'd call her an ambassador for America's freedom and liberty.
Yeah, you know, it is amazing and refreshing and eye-opening when you do talk to someone. And I, like you, have had the opportunity to talk to a lot of folks that have made America their home after living abroad and been in similar type situations. And to a man and woman, they're all very appreciative to be here because of the things that they have suffered. And you were talking earlier, where does this freedom, where does this liberty come from? Well, we know ultimately, first and foremost, it comes from God. You know, He's the ultimate giver of life and liberty to us, but also our Constitution and the way our country was founded. And these are the things, that's why we are that shining city on a hill, you know, to the rest of the world. And it's not to say that our country has not had its problems. We know it has. We know it has. But we have never been afraid to address those problems and deal with them, you know, through our history that has made this by far, not even a close second, the best place to live in the entire world.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And on top of it, Bob, the freedoms that we're given in this country allow us a format or an arena by which we can work out the differences or work out the problems. Yes. Because we have freedom of speech, because we have freedom of assembly, because we have freedom of the press, we can talk about what's going on in the culture, good and bad and otherwise. We can petition our government. We have this framework of freedom by which we can change the things that were wrong, and we can do it in a civil way, that without bloodshed, without violence, resorting to violence. Bob, in just a few days here, we're going to celebrate our nation's birth. July 4th, 1776, we had the 56 signers of the Declaration of Independence. They came together and they put together this political document that does address where freedom comes from.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that key phrase in the Declaration says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." That key phrase acknowledges the Creator, God, right?
Yes.
That God endows
us
with rights.
Yes.
Our rights don't come from government. Our rights don't come from a corporation. but our rights come from God.
Yes.
And that makes them inalienable.
Yes.
That means that somebody, what is given to you and endowed in you, cannot be taken away.
Yeah, and you know, after the last year, as to what we experienced with the lockdowns and the pandemic, I believe this year is going to take on even, and I'm talking about this year's celebration, is going to take on an even greater significance. I know it is for me and my family, you know.
Yeah.
And we are going to have the opportunity to travel and be with my brother-in-law as he celebrates his retirement from the United States Air Force, Lieutenant Colonel Brian Clark. God bless you. We thank you for your service. And just I get emotional. I get very emotional thinking about that. You know, the fact that he served our country and then leading. You know, right after that, you know, we're going into the 4th of July, and what a celebration that's going to be.
So am I hearing fireworks and cookout at the Bob Scott residence?
Well, there may be a few hot dogs and hamburgers, I'll put it that way. And maybe,
you know,
some potato salad,
Bob,
too.
Bob, you know, our country is worth celebrating.
It is.
You're a patriot. I'm a patriot. Both of us have family members who've served in the military.
Yep.
And it's really a privilege, in my opinion, to live in this country where we have freedom, where we have opportunity, where we have restrained government, not as much as what it may have been a generation or a couple of generations ago, but we still have more freedom, more
yes.
opportunity than any other country in the world. But it comes from this God being the source. It comes from God endowing us with rights, being the author of freedom. But this same God gives us a moral framework.
Yes.
Freedom, with freedom comes responsibility,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
So there's a framework there, but there's a moral framework by which a society needs to adhere to if it wishes to remain free. And let me explain that a little further. If you make bad choices, if you use your freedom to make bad choices, to abuse yourself with drugs or alcohol, or to hurt other people, well, freedom is minimized or freedom is threatened. If you use your freedom to make good choices, then there's a possibility of flourishing. There's a possibility to grow families and to grow society, to build things, to pursue your calling in life.
Yes.
But if we abuse freedom and do wrong things, crime, for example,
yes. right?
Right. If you use your freedom to hurt other people, to rob homes and to take advantage of others in some way, that diminishes everybody's freedom. Why? Because you need more government. You need more law enforcement.
Right.
You need more judges. You need more jails. And we've forgotten that with freedom comes responsibility.
Yes.
And really the ultimate source of freedom is our Creator, which I want to move into some of the challenges here that we're facing in our society and then pivot in just a little bit.
Okay.
Maybe the second segment, we're going to talk yep. about our Christianity and Culture conferences.
Yes.
Which
haven't those been wonderful?
They have been. And you've taken the lead in a couple of cities, Lexington and Louisville, and they've
yeah.
been fantastic. And we'll talk about those in just a minute. But some of the challenges, Bob, is that as we forget God's place in our founding political documents, you know, it's controversial to acknowledge the Declaration of Independence, just that excerpt, the ideal, the main creed, if you will, the American creed, that we have a creator who endows us with rights. It's controversial to acknowledge the preamble of the Kentucky Constitution, which acknowledges Almighty God as the giver of our civil, political, and religious liberties. When we divorce God from our political fabric, and he is interwoven, the reality of God is interwoven in our political fabric, mm-hmm. in political documents.
Yes.
When we don't acknowledge that, we're unraveling the framework for freedom. We're unraveling the idea of moral boundaries. We're unraveling our civilization.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're seeing. So some of the challenges with that is those who would tell a different story of America. And I'm thinking of the 1619 Project,
yes. Yes.
where this is something that the New York Times launched a couple of years ago. And they would say that the formative idea of America is when slaves were first brought to this land in 1619. And you have critical race theory, which is related to this. It equates whiteness with oppression, and they try to divide us based on the color of our skin. You have this grievance culture that's being fostered where certain people are wrong, certain ethnicities or certain groups have been wronged, and we're going to fan the grievances and get mm-hmm. people angry. instead of looking at opportunities or instead of looking at the future and how we can shape a better future. So, Bob, we see many challenges.
Yes.
And I'll pivot over to the challenges to Christianity. We live in a very secular, I call it a hyper-secular, postmodern, post-Christian, post-truth culture.
Yes.
Where if you try to live according to Christian ideals and values, you may be a target. I'm thinking of Jack Phillips right now. He's the baker in Colorado.
Yes.
He's under fire because he refused to bake a cake for a transgender person's transition celebration. I think of Chick-fil-A. They're in the crosshairs because they don't work on Sundays. They close on Sundays. And because of their values that company stands for, Burger King is taking a shot at them.
Yeah.
So if you do, in this culture today, live according to biblical values and really want to do your business or live according to those values, then you are in the crosshairs. And this is so far from where we once were as a nation, so far from the principles that have made us a nation. So people use freedom today, misunderstand it, but they use it to attack those things that have made this country great, attack at least the fruit, if you will. I'm thinking of Chick-fil-A. I'm thinking of Jack Phillips, who has religious freedom, and he has a conscience that is protected under the U.S. Constitution, yet he is attacked for simply living out his faith. So we have many, many challenges, Bob, in our culture today.
Yes. Yes, we do. And, you know, I think of the motto for the state of Kentucky, united we stand, divided we fall, as being very appropriate right now, because there is a great movement afoot to try to divide us. And, you know, thinking about the Colorado baker, you know, he first took a stand, fought many years, was vindicated, stood out as far as refusing to bake a cake for what he considered a non-biblical relationship. And then they circle back and they're attacking him now on a new venue, you know. These are all things, you know, it says in Isaiah chapter 5, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. Yeah. We find ourselves right now in that time frame.
Bobby, you know, that's a good point, and that's something we're about to take a break here, but when we come back, I want us to talk further about how to engage, for Christians to engage a culture that may be hostile to Christian values and simply living out those values.
Yes.
And here in Kentucky, we've not seen it to the extremes we've had in other states. I'd say Colorado is more hostile in many ways. It's considered a progressive state. They've legalized marijuana use. They have a statewide SOGI law, sexual orientation, gender identity protection law. They have other things that would put them in the progressive camp.
Right.
But really, along with progressivism as it's defined, is this notion that if you have deep religious convictions, if you're going to live according to those convictions, that's intolerant.
Yeah.
But the irony is that everybody has convictions, everybody has values, and it's just a question of which values will prevail. So we're going to talk about that further with our Christianity and Culture conferences after this break. Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that we're living in confusing and challenging times where law and culture are increasingly hostile to Christian values. So how do you maintain your faith and convictions? That's a question that we're helping to answer at our Christianity and Culture conferences. The goal is to help believers to understand the culture and how to respond in an effective and winsome way. And we'd love for you to join us. The first two were well received, and we look forward to seeing you at our fall conferences in Bowling Green, Paducah, and in Somerset. To find out more, go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. That's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org, and we look forward to seeing you there. Welcome back to the Commonwealth Matters. I'm Richard Nelson, Executive Director of CPC, here with Bob Scott, and we are talking freedom and liberty and where it comes from. And Bob, just before the break, I had talked about these Christianity and Culture conferences, which we planned to launch some last year, but of course, we know that
COVID kind of got in the way of that.
Something got in the way. And of course, some of our listeners and viewers know that we hired you just 2 weeks before the shutdown, and we had gone into I don't want to say timing. Yeah, crisis mode. But we learned how to use Zoom, and we learned Facebook Live and some other things. But now, as things open up, we have been able to put these conferences together, and you've helped spearhead these conferences in Lexington and Louisville. And tell us a little bit about these conferences and what we're trying to do.
It's just been a pleasure. You know, as you mentioned, we rolled out the first one in April in Lexington to rave reviews. They were sold. It was sold out. We came over to Louisville, did the same thing. Again, same situation, you know, to a packed out audience. And that really tells me that people are hungry to hear the truth, you know. And really the driving force behind it is, first of all, God and His Word. You as executive director for this organization, I know you had a vision for that. And as we started talking about it, I thought, yeah, you know, there is people are hungry to hear the truth spoken in a loving way that's going to penetrate them where they can go then and make a difference in their own communities. And that's really what it's about. And you look at some of the speakers that we've been blessed to have, I just marvel, you know.
Well, we have had some really good speakers. Bob Russell, former pastor of Southeast Christian Church, has led a topic on engaging the culture. We've had Hershel York, Dean of Theology at Southern Seminary, talk about engaging the culture with according to the gospel principles. We've had Robert Cunningham at Tate's Creek Presbyterian Church giving us a vision for where we are as Christians engaging this culture. Several top speakers that have really tackled some tough issues and given us a vision, given us a path to a map maybe of how to reengage culture in a winsome, effective way. And both of those things are important because, Bob, we can stand against culture. We can condemn the things that are wrong.
Right.
It's very easy to do. All you have to do is see some of the things coming out of Hollywood. You listen to some of the political talk shows. You get an idea of that what we consider entertainment, not good stuff, a lot of it. And it's easy to point fingers and to condemn that which is wrong. But, you know, you cannot overcome something bad without a vision for what's good.
That's right.
And as Christians, we, and by the way, there's a biblical principle, you know, without a vision, people perish.
Yep.
So we need to cast a vision for what a healthy culture looks like.
Yes.
What does it mean to live according to biblical principles? What does it mean to get out into culture that may be hostile to the faith and then to live this out?
And that's something that Robert Cunningham, who was our initial speaker in both events, I think really set a very important tone because he talked about that and not only talked about it, but he has done that with regard to his ministry. You know, he pastors one of the largest churches in Lexington, but he also has been given the charge. And this is beautiful. This is absolutely beautiful. He's been given the charge, Richard, by his leadership at that church to get out and engage the community. You know, now, how has he done that? Well, he has gone on a statewide radio show. The host is a sports
Matt Jones. We'll just say it.
I will say Matt Jones. Yeah. And let's just say
KSR Radio.
Matt's not noted for being a conservative, you know, but yet he has developed a relationship with him enough that Matt has invited him and let him basically go on and speak towards conservative principles and why we believe, you know, what we believe. And the same thing with the Lexington Herald leader, since we're naming names.
You know.
Again, not noted for being a conservative publication, but he's written columns there as well, you know. And then he does numerous speaking engagements in the area where he has the opportunity to talk to people that maybe don't think the same way that he thinks, you know. And it's just so encouraging to see that happen.
It's encouraging and it's needed. You know, I think several generations ago, Bob, the church retreated from culture. And when I say the church, I mean in a wide sense of the word. We've retreated from participating in the institutions of culture, whether it's government or education, and from a distinctly biblical worldview, we've retreated and we've created a subculture in many ways. We have Christian radio, Christian TV, Christian movies. We have the subculture, Christian books, right? Christian,
yes.
And I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with that other than the fact that when we create a subculture and no longer participate in the larger culture, we lose an opportunity to influence. We lose an opportunity to share the gospel and gospel principles. And we are viewed with the culture looks at it a little differently, like what is going on over there? We're not in the culture, and we do need to maintain, you know, our identity.
Yes.
We need to be in fellowship with believers, but we're called to live out the faith in public.
Yes.
Jesus told his disciples that they're the salt of the earth and the light of the world. He didn't tell them, do that in your own subculture. To be salt effectively means that you need to get out of the salt shaker.
Yes.
And you get into the world, and when we look at the world today, there's a lot of decay. But not only that, there's a lot of pain and there's hurting.
Yes.
You see a lot of that.
And yes.
As Christians, we see what's going on and we should be prompted to move out of our comfort zones, to take the love of Jesus where we go, to share it with them, and to really love on people who are broken, to bring God's truth to those who need it, and to see what happens when we actually do those things. Bob.
Amen. Yeah, I had the opportunity to meet with two pastors in Eastern Kentucky yesterday, Richard, and two separate sites, two separate conversations, but it was interesting because both of them said exactly what you were just sharing, getting out of our comfort zone and where we have made a mistake, you know, as the body of Christ, is we have, in essence, surrendered our beliefs to government, to institutions around us, and both of them, to a man, said, we need to re-engage. It's absolutely critical that we re-engage if we're going to see the culture go back in a direction that's going to impact and touch people's lives.
There's not an option. I think we're at a crossroads in this country where we continue to go down the direction that we're going down, where there's little influence from the church, where we're embracing, as a nation, secular ideology, in fact, hurtful ideology, like critical race theory, like the 1619 Project. We go down that path where it leads to divisive seeds are sown.
Yep.
And when divisiveness is sown, it leads to animosity between people, it leads to bitterness, and it leads to more anger and division.
Yes.
We need to push against that. As Christians, the other path is this, that Christians engage, that we bring biblical truths into the public arena with real people. We love people who need to see God's love. We bring hope to people. In fact, Scripture tells us that we have ministries of reconciliation.
Yes, we do.
In Colossians, we're told that we are, just as Christ reconciled the world to him, we are reconcilers. Here on earth.
Amen.
And reconciling is just, it sounds like a big term, but it means to make right that which is wrong or out of whack.
Yes.
We're God's instruments who, because of his grace and his love that he's shown us, we can show grace and love to others. Because he initiated and took that first step to be the sacrifice for us on the cross, we can take a step of faith out into the culture and share our stories. To extend love, to extend hope and help. Our country needs that more than ever.
Yeah.
And Bob, it's going to take us moving out of our comfort zone. It's going to take us having some courage. It's going to take us to do things a little differently.
Yeah.
It's hard, but it's needed. And that's what these conferences are about, aren't they?
Yes, and I want to make certain, because I know we're getting shorter on time, and I just want to mention the conferences. We have the next one, we're calling it our fall series.
Yeah.
September the 10th, we'll be in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Mm-hmm. October the 1st in Paducah, and November the 5th in Somerset, Kentucky. So we're not leaving out our Western Kentucky friends or our Southern Kentucky friends. If you are anywhere close to any of these venues, you've got to come. It will be a blessing to you, I promise.
So, Bob, where can people find out more information about these conferences?
Yeah, it's really simple. We made it as simple as it possibly can be. You can go to the CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. Again, it's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You will have a template that will come up right away, and you just choose your location. You can sign up right there, and I encourage you to do that because, believe it or not, we're already seeing a really positive trend with regard to things filling up in our conferences in the fall. So the sooner the better. I would suggest that you go ahead and get signed up.
In fact, in Bowling Green, we have table sponsors. I think we have 9 table sponsors already in Bowling Green.
It's incredible.
So yeah. 8 per table. In fact, if anybody would like to sponsor a table at any one of these locations,
yes,
Bowling Green, Paducah, or Somerset, you can reach us on our website. Go to CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. That's CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. And you can contact us through that. But I encourage those who are tuned into this to consider attending. We need a vision to re-engage culture. We need a vision to re-engage in a better way, an effective way. And that's what many of these speakers are going to talk about. Bob, we're talking about issues of LGBT. We're talking about racial reconciliation. We're talking about the right to life, religious freedom. We had one presentation on cancel culture, how to navigate your business in a cancel culture world. We'll have many of these same speakers at the upcoming conferences, and I really believe it's going to make a difference in these communities,
yes,
and across the Commonwealth as we embrace biblical ideals and as we are challenged and encouraged to live out these ideals, again, in a winsome, effective,
yes,
way.
Yes.
We're going to see things change.
Including, too, and I thought this was important, how to properly engage those in authority above you. I'm talking about governmental authority.
Yeah. Yeah.
Great talk done by Brandon Porter with regard, yeah, to that. Again, it will give you practical information. I haven't heard one person complain about it. Many have said it's one of the best, if not the best, conferences they've ever been to.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome. Bob, we are out of time. It has been so good that you could join me. Again, where can people get the information about these conferences?
CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org.
Wonderful. Thank you. God bless you, brother.
You too.
Hi, Richard Nelson here with the Commonwealth Policy Center. It's clear that the news media isn't always fair. In fact, there's lots of far-left bias and political gamesmanship. No surprise there. So if you're looking for a perspective that's grounded in the truth of Scripture and our nation's founding principles, then get plugged into CPC's resources. Sign up for our e-newsletter at CommonwealthPolicyCenter.org. You can also follow us on Facebook at Commonwealth Policy Center. And we're on Twitter at CPC for Kentucky.